Are you connected?
Hello and welcome to Are You Connected number 59. Today is Monday, the 28th of January, and we're celebrating the Australian Day long weekend, and it's the last day of our summer school holidays. I'm Lois Smethurst, and today we're going to be talking about getting set up for school on our iPads and all things about Google and education, because Jenny is going to share with us her experiences at the Google Summit in Sydney last week. And so here's Jenny Ashby. Hello, Jenny.
Hello, Lois. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Thought you'd forgotten me there.
I was just going to do it by myself.
Sounded like it. Yes, I've been to Google School.
You've been to Google School in the holidays. You've been a good girl.
Google School in Sydney. It was very nice.
Yes.
And yes, that was interesting.
It was the first Google Summit in Australia, I think. Is that right or am I wrong? First Google Summit in Sydney, perhaps.
I think it might have been.
We'll be talking about that later in our podcast, won't we?
Yes. First of all, though, we're talking about setting up, Lois, because, I mean, I would have liked to have been all set up by now.
Me too. I thought I would be, but it's just not going to happen. Mm. So we're talking about getting configurator and our volume licensing for apps up and running on our in our school, aren't we?
Yeah, and I guess this is more appropriate if you're going to be school managed.
Yes, and my iPads are school managed.
Because we have never been school managed. We've really been student managed. So this is a big change for us.
Yeah, so you're going back to school managed iPads. And the reason for that is, explain that again, Jenny, why you've changed, because most people would think that was a step backwards.
Well, it could be a step backwards, but we're instead of having the iPads one-to-one in one class, we're having them available in all classes so that the classes will be many-to-many because they'll have not only iPads but they'll have laptops and they'll have netbooks and they'll have iPods and in some classes they'll have desktops.
So in some ways it's a new trial, isn't it?
It is a new trial, yes, because they'll have four or five different pieces of technology to use.
Yeah.
And we'll see which ones are used for which job. I guess it'll be
What suits best for what you're doing.
But we're trying to get away from everyone sit on an iPad and we're all doing this.
And this is one of the main reasons why you've changed, isn't it?
Yes. Or everyone sit on a netbook and we're all doing this. So that we have various activities going on and these children are doing this and those ones are doing something different.
It'll be really interesting to follow that and see if it's changed because the research is that the most effective way to have iPads is to have students own them and have them take them home, isn't it?
Yes, and we've seen some really great things happen from that program. Some of our kids did amazing things when they took them home and, you know, really continued their learning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it will be interesting.
Now, let's get back to setting it up.
So I have searched the internet high and low for information on this, as you would have done as well.
Yes, I'm gathering. Well, right now I am working through the How to Help Centre that comes with Configurator.
Yeah, it's quite good, isn't it?
It's quite good.
In Configurator, the things you need to have before you use Configurator, Lois.
Mm-hmm. Yes, let's go. Yeah,
well, you need to have your volume purchasing licence.
Yes, and do you know that takes 5 days, which I found out on the last day of the school holidays. Because I thought, I won't do that yet because I need the credit card details. I'll get to do that. And left that to the last week, Friday, and I get to the third stage and it says, and we'll let you know when it's been approved and it could take 5 business working days. And I thought, great.
Yeah. Well, I've got that all done. So I purchased my first apps from the volume purchasing plan, which I was I didn't want to do it, you know. It took me a long time to bite the bullet. Because we've bought all the apps for 55 iPads already at full price.
Yeah.
So to turn around and then buy them all again at half price, which is better, I guess, I've decided we're only going to buy certain ones.
Yes.
And the other ones we're going to just manually add them.
Well, I think you can't you?
And I get the kids.
With Configurator, you can do that.
Well, with the kids will just, on the iPad, will just put in the iTunes account and it's already been purchased.
Yeah.
So they can just click on download.
Yep.
So we're going to do that, see how it goes, because, it'll basically be your Keynote and
that the expensive sort of ones. You won't want to buy those twice.
No. So that'll just be a once-off thing anyway. Once they're on there, it'll be fine. And as well as having your VPP, you also need to have, obviously, I suppose, an iTunes account that you've got all the apps on the same computer as your configurator program, so that when you go to profiles, you can add apps and it goes directly to your iTunes folder where all the apps are, and then you can just scroll up and down and choose the apps that you want to have in this profile, because you can make different profiles in Configurator.
Yeah, so you could make one for younger students or one for older students. And
yeah, and then when you're... So I've just decided to put all the apps on, but where I will make it different is when you go into settings, you're adding different settings. That's where you can put in different email addresses and things. So for each team, I'll have a different email address on those iPads, because I want to send an email to the Prep 1s and have it just go on all the Prep 1 iPads.
Right.
And if I had the Prep 1 account on all the iPads, every grade in the school would get too many emails.
Right.
And not to them.
Okay, I see.
Because you can put your Wi-Fi settings in there and everything as well.
Yes.
So once you've got all those things in, that means you don't have to go and manually put those things in on all your iPads.
What about your certificates for your Wi-Fi though, I think?
Well, that all goes in there because you just put in all the details for it.
Okay. And the other thing you should do before you start is download the iOS update to your desktop, so that it's not going to try and download that once you get started. And then you can tell Configurator where that update is.
Yes, that's exactly right. And by clicking on iOS there, you can click latest, or you can click multiple, or you go to other, and that actually lets you choose where you're grabbing the file from.
Yes, and if you grab it from your desktop, it won't try and download it.
Yeah, that's right. Hmm. That's if you're needing updates.
So once you've
prepared in Configurator, you do all these things in Prepare, then you can go on to connecting up some iPads, can't you?
Yes.
And see how that goes. And that's my next job to do, to then see if it'll work. So in our next podcast, we'll come back and we'll say what worked and what didn't work.
Yes. Yep.
And I'll be actually using my iPad at school and putting it on and... using my iPad to get the internet at school. I'm going to put my hotspot on my iPad and run it through Configurator on the laptop, because at school I'm finding iTunes is blocking where it says, yes, this is confirmed, this software's okay. You know how it does that?
Yeah, something's blocking. iTunes is very difficult to use at school, I find.
So I'm going to just use my iPad and it'll just go out through that and check and say, yes, that's fine, and then come back and keep going, I hope. Anyway, that's enough of Configurator.
It is enough of Configurator. Let's move on and talk about it again next time to see how successful we were or weren't. Okay, so Google, Jenny, let's talk about the Google Summit in Sydney.
At the Google Summit in Sydney, it was a hot conference.
Oh, 40-something?
Yeah, and also hot topics and hot things to look at, so it was good.
2 days, wasn't it?
It was only 2 days, a good 2 days, and lots of great speakers presenting. Mm-hmm. And some of the tips I picked up about, because I was going there to look at the Google apps, because you can get Google apps for education and have it all set up on your server.
Yes, we do that.
And does that mean that they're actually saving their Google documents and things back to your server?
No.
It doesn't. That just means you have the ability to tick on which apps they're using.
Yes.
And give them a username and password.
It's brilliant. Well, they all have, everyone in the school, all the staff, all the students, have a username and password, which is @berwicklodgeps.vic.edu.au.
Yep.
So it's just their cases code. It's done through their existing accounts, in a sense, that's how you plug it into Google. And now when they log on, they get their own...
And Google Drive's great.
Google Drive's great because we use that all the time.
Mm.
And the teachers use it. We use it for all our minutes in our meetings.
How do you find it goes with our clunky internet?
Our clunky internet's fine. The thing I have trouble with is the admin staff's access. It doesn't seem to work well because their computers are so locked down to their which applications I use, such as Internet Explorer. For some reason.
I see.
So that's a bit of a problem, which we'll have to solve at the beginning of this year. But everyone else seems to manage. We don't have a problem at all. Oh, sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes.
I think the department needs to let in some other browsers on those admin computers, don't
they? They really do.
Hmm. Yeah, so Google Drive is great, and you can use Google Drive on your iPads.
Yes.
It's probably not quite up to scratch as the website, but they are adding features as we speak, apparently.
Yeah. Well, Google Drive's the one we do a lot of collaboration on, our script writing and things like that, when we're writing stories together and scripts together.
That's and, I mean, we use share. Google Drive ourselves, don't we, when we're doing this podcast?
We do. I don't know how we managed before we had it.
Hmm. So in Google Drive, you can create a new document and a new spreadsheet. They haven't yet got a presentation. I'd like to see that.
On the iPad you're talking about.
On the iPad, yes. Mm. And it does allow you to create also new folders and things, and you can, on the iPad, put your different documents into folders and organise all that. You can upload photos and video, and you can also use the camera in Google Drive.
To take a snapshot and add it to a document.
To take a photo or a video.
Yep.
Straight in Google Drive.
Oh, nice.
And,
so you can just add videos and photos straight into your documents, Jen.
Yes, and you can also take video there and put it straight up onto YouTube.
Mm, really?
Mm, if you wanted to do that, if you had that going.
We've used the folder aspect where we gave every grade a folder and they put all their photos for the school magazine into their folder, and we shared it with someone outside the school who was actually putting a DVD of our magazine together. Because you get 5 gigabytes of space in each folder.
Oh, okay.
So it's really useful for sharing things like that too.
Yeah, you have to be careful with sharing school photos, don't you?
Yes. Well, no, it's quite locked down.
You have your kids fill out a form and parents tick off what they're allowed and aren't allowed to do. And
yes, we do.
And you have to remember which kids are not allowed to have photos, which ones are.
Yes, we do all that. When I say shared it, we only shared it with one other person who made the DVD.
Yeah.
We didn't share it openly.
So would have had permissions, I guess, that children were allowed to be on the DVD.
Oh, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, that's our school magazine. And the only people who can see those are the people in the school who those folders are shared with.
Yeah.
Which is the staff. And
I see, yeah. So they're not open.
No. No, but if the students had the folders, then they'd only be open to whoever they shared their folder with.
Hmm.
So, and the nice thing about Drive too, the Google Apps for Education, is you can create groups amongst your users. So we have a staff group. So if we want all the staff to be able to read something, you share it with the staff.
So you don't have to put in individual email addresses.
Oh, no. No, and
for sharing.
No, you don't. You make a group, you create groups just like you. Mm. And for the kids, though, talking of sharing, when they go to share it with another student, they only really have to type the child's first name and it will find all the children with those first names and say, is it this one, you know, how it suggests users. So it makes it very easy for them to share it with other people, with their peers or their teachers, because it will do the same for the teachers in the school.
What sort of activities might have they used Google Docs, for instance, with?
We mostly use it for our radio scripts and playwriting.
Yeah.
So when they're making a radio script together, the teacher and the group of students who are writing that script will all be on at the same time, and they try to write it like a conversation. So they'll be writing all at the same go. And the lovely thing I'm seeing now is the more experienced students are suggesting to the other students, they say, now you write something here about this. And so they actually write on the document as well about what the other kids could do. And they get on it at home and finish them off at home.
It was interesting at the summit, one of our sessions, we were all invited to participate on a document and add some writing.
Yeah.
And it was an example of how if you're worried about it's going to be too crowded and people will do the, you know, all over the place, it actually ends up ordering itself. Order just comes into it and people start to self-manage and make it orderly. It was really interesting because we all started typing and then you found someone was there, so you moved down here and someone was typing there and then people fixed each other's bits up and all sorts of things happened.
We have a few rules about fixing other people's things up because some children think that they need to fix something that other children don't think needs fixing.
Oh.
So our rule is you don't edit someone else's work, but you can go and suggest to them that they might.
Right.
So you don't go and edit someone else's work because, you know, we've had as I said, they go home and work on their scripts. Well, we've had children go home and delete whole sections that they didn't like of other children's work.
Oh, I see. Yeah, what you don't like.
But it's recoverable because it's in the history. And you can actually see who's done the editing in the history as well.
Yeah, that's the great part, isn't it, all the histories?
Yeah, or if someone accidentally, we've had a few people come over in tears because they've had days of work, they've accidentally highlighted the whole thing and deleted it.
Oh, yes.
And they've been horrified to think that it's gone, and then we just go down into the history and recover it all, and they, you know, there's just such a sigh of relief. So that's, little things like that.
I can remember.
So what else did you pick up, Jenny? What else did they talk about?
Well, I went to a Chris Betcher's session, which was about searching, and that was interesting because there are different types of Google searches. I'd usually just go into Google and type in what I want, like you do, but they're actually a Scholar search.
Yes.
So you can go to Google Scholar, and it will search all articles and papers that have been written.
Right, so great when you're studying.
Great when you're doing studying, or if you're needing some papers and some research for something you might be trying to get going in your school, and you want some evidence, some backup, some research material, can be really handy for that.
Yeah.
And when these papers come up, say you've typed in a topic like digital learning or something, it'll tell you how many times it's been cited, and you can actually click and see who has been citing it.
Yeah.
And I would have loved it when I was doing my master's, for instance, but I think I'll use it just for getting evidence.
Yeah. Now, Jenny, and you've got the Google Art Project written down there.
Yes, the Google Art Project was terrific. Jim Sill did the session on Google Art Project, and I didn't even know it existed. But if you're an art student or an art teacher, or you really want to use artworks in your writing, for instance.
Yeah, in story writing, for example.
The art project, you go there and you can basically virtually visit art museums around the world. Wow. And you can go down on like Street View and be in the gallery and walk around, and you can zoom right in close on the pictures and see brush strokes. You could see much closer than you could if you were in the gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make collections and make your own collections and have a collection of work. And there are also collections that have already been made, like this. Maths in Art, and you can click on that and all these pictures will come up. When you click on a picture, it gives you lots of information about the artwork, about the artists. If there have been videos made by people talking about it, they'll list as well.
Right.
So it's a huge resource.
So it's a big reference section, really.
Yeah, it's really great to look at. So that was a nice find.
What else have you got?
And also we looked at Google News, where you can search all the newspapers in the world for various topics, and that'll bring up lots of good different newspapers around the world. You can compare what's happening with newspapers.
And are they historical as well?
Historical, yes. Australian newspapers. Australian newspapers have been scanned in, but they stop at about 1980. Which I think we decided had something to do with copyright. So that was interesting. And Google Books is very interesting.
So
you can buy books there, but you can also they also catalogue books, and you can make up your own bookshelf, a bit like iBooks, and put your own books in a shelf that you've read, and you can have a bookshelf of books you want to read, books you have read.
Then you would buy them to read.
Some of them you can.
Some of them are free, is that what you're saying? Mm. Oh, okay.
So books.google.com, that was very good.
Mm-hmm.
A Google a Day, have you been to that?
No.
A Google a Day, it used to be in, it's now in Google Plus, and I think it's in Google Plus in games, and it's a Google a Day.com, and it gives you different activities to use, to do, to get better at searching.
Oh, okay.
Great for kids to use.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So it's a googleaday.com.
Sounds like a nice warm-up activity.
Right. So it's in Google Plus in games. They've moved, apparently.
I'll have a look at that too.
So, lots of great things to look at that I hadn't really looked at before.
You did Google Hangouts? Did you talk about Google Hangouts?
We did Google Hangouts, and I've been to a couple of Google Hangouts, and good feature about that is you can actually turn it on so it live streams easily. So although you can only have 10 people in the session, you could have an unlimited amount of people just watching the stream.
Oh, that'd be great.
So it could be a could be a good way to broadcast to parents.
Yes. Oh, couldn't that be good?
Hmm.
That'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, or you could have a selection of students from your school and broadcast that to all your students
to another
in the school.
Grade, yes.
Yeah, or they can all be looking at it on their own screens.
Yeah, so your students could stream to my students, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that'd be interesting. We could try some of those things, couldn't we?
Hmm.
And, Jen, did you talk about Google scripting or anything like that?
Well, I went to a session that was on scripting.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all to do with adding scripts to spreadsheets that do things.
Oh.
And Google spreadsheets have some amazing scripts that will do all sorts of things.
Mm. I've had a quick look at it. It's very technical.
One of them was called Flubaroo.
Oh, yes.
Which is sort of used for testing and thing. If you make up forms, you know forms you make up?
Yes.
Google Forms.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do Google Forms, you always get what people have filled in a spreadsheet.
Yes.
And in the spreadsheet, you can then go to scripts and add certain scripts to that spreadsheet that will do stuff with the information. Like you can get it to mark the test.
Mm.
You can get it to email if they've done this answer. It will email them that. So actually at one time, Chris Betcher in the Google Slam, they had a Google Slam where they all had to do something better than everyone else and we had to vote which person did the best thing. He had like an email hunt and they'd email something and then depending what they emailed, they got another email back. It was all set by this script. So there's some very interesting scripts.
So Flubaroo is like predefined scripts?
Yeah, they're all set up for you. So
oh, okay.
Some of these, if you go into the spreadsheet and go to scripts, you'll see a whole lot of scripts listed there.
Okay.
Under different categories. And another one was, so Flubaroo will also send everyone the results from their survey. Another one is called Doctopus.
Mm-hmm.
Doctopus was really good because it'll send documents to students. You can send an individual or you can send to groups. You can differentiate and send these documents to those students and these ones to those. So it was a really good way of distributing documents.
All right.
Mm. So that was different.
Well, I'm not sure how that's different from just emailing them.
Well, you don't actually have to do it. Once they've filled in the form.
Oh, I see. It's based on a form.
Yeah, it's, yes. All these things are based on forms.
Oh, okay.
People fill in.
Yep, yep.
So they do the form and then Dr. Puss would send them certain things depending what they filled in.
Oh, okay.
Different worksheets or different forms.
There's
or...
so much to learn, isn't there?
Lots to learn in that for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're getting close to our time. In fact, we're way over our time already. So let's quickly go through the last bit so that we can
finish
getting on with editing and finishing. So cyber tips. We're going to for cyber tips this time. We're just talking about the cyber safety presentation on February the 5th in our schools.
Yes.
In Victorian schools, done by the Department of Education.
Yes, a Cyber Smart Day, and classes can join up. We've got the link on our website.
It's in Collaborate. What's it called now? Blackboard Collaborate? Or
it is in Blackboard Collaborate,
yes.
This session. Yes, and so you need to log on about half an hour before.
Mm-hmm.
It's at 10 o'clock, one of the sessions.
You need to register to get your seats first, and then you log on.
Mm.
On the day.
And I think, as with Illuminate, usually this will be available as a recording.
Oh, probably will be too, yes.
So it'll be, if that time doesn't suit people, which often happens,
mm-hmm.
they can watch it as a recording.
But the good thing about being there is that you do actually get to participate in the questions, so you can be one of the people who ask questions of the presenters.
You can, yes. And they have three different sessions that are available,
mm-hmm.
That will be available on the day activities. CyberSmart Detectives for upper primary students,
mm-hmm.
CyberSmart Hero, which is focusing on cyberbullying, and CyberSmart Networking, which is for lower secondary on focusing on social networking.
Okay, that's terrific.
So some of our upper students, 5-6s, could need the social networking, I think.
Well, yes.
Mm.
Yes, it's no good pretending it's not happening, is it?
No good pretending at all.
No. And events coming up for in the next few weeks, there's the Meeting of the Minds conference, which we mentioned last time on February the 16th and 17th. And
yes.
I think there's still a couple of seats left, even though it's quite small, that conference. And that's at Melbourne Inspire 9.
Yeah, a co-working space. It's going to be very interesting.
That'll be very interesting. So that'll be fun. Mm-hmm.
And that brings us to Slide to Learn in Perth, April 22nd and 23rd.
Yeah.
Registrations opening is just around the corner.
Oh, they're not open yet?
Not open yet. Should be up online very soon, in the next week or so.
Yes, because that's actually a weekend, isn't it? It's a weekend for us during our school term, whereas in Perth it's their school holidays.
Yes, it's Perth school holidays, and we've already had a lot of people have registered pre-registration.
Oh, that's good.
For their expression of interest.
Mm-hmm.
So those people will get a nice email shortly saying they can register as quickly as they can.
Mm.
I think they get so many days where they can register until we put it out to the public.
Open, yeah. Okay. Now, any apps that we want to recommend in this podcast, Jen?
Well, of course, there's the Drive app, Google Drive app.
Yes,
Google Apps. Which would be good to have on your iPad so you can do that.
Yeah, very good.
There's also iCab, which is to me, I thought it was a taxi thing for getting taxis to
I've got that on my iPad and I thought, what is that? And is that for calling the local taxi or what? But no, it's not.
No, actually, we use some taxi apps up in Sydney to try and get some taxis.
But iCab is not for taxis. iCab is for YouTube. Is that right, Jenny?
Well, iCab is a browser.
A browser.
It's a browser for on your iPad, but it allows you to download videos from YouTube.
Yes.
And then it puts them in your photo gallery.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
They can look at them offline. So if you're doing that, you want to show something to your class, then you can just show the video.
Which is very nice because you can avoid any unforeseen ads or things that you don't want to show.
Yes.
Yeah. And we could also – the other thing I'd like to recommend, and you've watched this too, I know, Jen, is Joe Dale's presentation in the Classroom 2 – for the Classroom 2 site. And we put the link to that on our blog page because that has just about any resource that you might need for an iPad.
Yeah, it was a great presentation that Joe did, and thanks to Joe for giving us a mention.
Yes, it was lovely. But he has so many resources listed there that teachers could just keep that and then go through. You wouldn't want to use it all at once, but you think, well, I need to know a little bit about this. You would be able to find the information somewhere there in Joe's presentation.
And lots of resources to resources.
Yeah, that's what I mean, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
It's resources.
And I have a correction to make because in the last podcast, I thought it was iPad Sammy who had put me onto that iConnet, but it was actually Joe Dale.
It was from Joe Dale's presentation, wasn't it?
Wasn't it? iConnet, the app that lets you scan an app's icon and find out what app it's called.
Yeah, so that was in there too. Well, Jen, I think we better finish for today.
I think so.
So thank you very much for all that information about the Google Summit in Sydney. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in again. And we'll see you all next time. So thanks, Bye. Jenny.
Thanks, Lois. Bye for now.
Bye.